There's one more verse, which is not written on the board. Tasmin Mahan Mukarita Madhubit Charitra Piyusha Sesha Sarita Parita Shravanti Taye Pibhanti Avitrisho Nrupa Ghada Karnais Tan Nasprashanti Ashanatrit Baya Shoka Moha. Translation: my dear king, in the place where pure devotees live following the rules and regulations and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that place if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation and illusion. Please repeat: my dear king, in the place where pure devotees live following the rules and regulations and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that place if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation and illusion. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada: the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavana, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouths of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. When one is engaged in constantly hearing the glories of the Lord, he certainly rises above the bodily conception. When one is in the bodily conception, he feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, lamentation and illusion. But when one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. The word Bhagavad Gunana Kathana Shravana Vyagra Chetasa, meaning always eager to find the place where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted, is significant in this verse. A businessman is always very eager to go to a place where business is transacted. Similarly, a devotee is very eager to hear from the lips of liberated devotees. As soon as one hears the glories of the Lord from the liberated devotees, he immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. This is also confirmed in another verse. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrutkarna rasayana kata tad joshanat ashav apavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. In this association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Bhagavatam 3:25-25. In the association of pure devotees, one becomes attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness, and as soon as this cultivation is advanced, one can become faithful to the Lord, devoted to the Lord and attached to the Lord, and thus one can very quickly obtain full Krishna consciousness. The secret of success in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is hearing from the right person. A Krishna conscious person is never disturbed by bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So we didn't read the word by word meaning, so we'll do that. Yatra, where? Bhagavata, great devotees. Rajan, O king. Sadhava, saintly persons. Vishada Ashaya, broad-minded. Bhagavad, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, the qualities. Anukatana, to regularly recite. Shravana, to hear. Vyagra, ego. Chetasa, whose consciousness. Tasmin, there. Mahat, of great saintly persons. Mukaritaha, emanating from the mouths. Madhubhit, of the killer of the madhu demon. Charitra, the activities of the character. Piyusha, of nectar. Sesha, surplus. Sarita, reverse. Paritaha, all around. Shravanti, flow. Taha, all of them. E, dehu. Pibanti, drink. Avitrusha, without being satisfied. Nrupa, O king. Gada, attentive. Karnaihi, with their ears. Tan, them. Na, never. Sprishanti, touch. Ashana, hunger. Trid, thirst. Baya, fear. Shoka, lamentation. Moha, illusion. So once more translation. My dear king, in the place where pure devotees live following the rules and regulations and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that place if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation and illusion. Mo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desitarne Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakhyam Dadati Sipatantikam Panchakalpatarubhishya Kripasindu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No. Thing is, there's so much sound coming, but very little air. No air is coming. Huh? No air is coming, but lot of sound coming.
Yeah.
No, but I want some air. It's very hot. The main point that Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing is that one should hear Lord Harikatha from pure devotees. And who are pure devotees? Pure devotees are, they have transcended the bodily conception of life. And what is the symbol, that symptom that they have transcended the bodily conception of life is that they are never disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating and defending. I was just reading yesterday in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada says that one who is in knowledge, so if one is disturbed by bodily necessities, particularly sex life, then he says that he is supposed to be in ignorance. So, it is not possible to perform real devotional service when we are in ignorance. In this verse, which is also from third canto, Prabhupada says that in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. So then one becomes liberated. And thereafter he is freed, is liberated, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. So I have said before also that this platform of being liberated is the platform of a neophyte devotee. And before that, we are not even neophytes. Therefore, we must be very careful to understand the technique of hearing from the mouths of pure devotees, Prabhupada says. From the mouth of pure devotee means the mouth of pure devotee. Pure devotees are eternally there, and hearing from them really means receiving their instructions. And this has to be heard directly. And material situation can neither facilitate it, nor it can impede it. To have a material body is not a qualification for hearing from a pure devotee, but it is also not a disqualification. Therefore, how to hear from him, that secret must be learned. If that is not learned, we will not know how to hear from the pure devotee. So Prabhupada always gave the example so many times of how the author of a book is different from the book, and only the author knows the real intent of the book. He gave the example of a Calcutta novelist who wrote a book about Shah Jahan, and the whole book was about Aurangzeb. It was describing only Aurangzeb, although it was titled as Shah Jahan Ka Kahani. So many people asked him finally, why have you titled it as Shah Jahan Ka Kahani and it's describing only Aurangzeb? And then he replied that I am describing Shah Jahan when he was in the prison where he was put by Aurangzeb, so he was all the time thinking about Aurangzeb. Therefore, I have written whatever was in his mind. So it is a book about Shah Jahan. So if you go back and reread the whole book from that viewpoint, it has a totally different meaning. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishri Gaurnita ki jai, Shishri Radha Rasvayar Maltav Shakaji ki jai, Shishri Sitaram Lakshmanaman ki jai. So Prabhupada repeatedly said that only a pure devotee, only the author of a book knows the actual meaning of the book. And there is a difference between material authors and spiritual authors. So the material authors are, you are not able to contact them. Somebody writes a book and then he dies, and if you have something to ask about the book, you cannot ask him because he's gone. But Krishna spoke to Gita, but he is still present in the heart as Paramatma, and if we have some doubts, he is happy to clear them personally. Similarly, Prabhupada has written the books and he is still present. That is why we call disappearance day, not death day. Appearance and disappearance. Just like in the night, sun disappears, but it's not gone, it exists. The morning sun appears. So materially, when a person dies, his body dies, it will never appear again. But someone like Prabhupada, he doesn't have a material body. It appears like that. Therefore, he is eternally present. And therefore, whenever we read the books, he can actually satisfy our doubts also. This is, of course, true of all the acharyas. Brahma is there right now, Narada is there, like that. But nevertheless, each acharya is presenting the knowledge according to time and circumstance. So it is to be understood that the current link, the acharya, he is actually presenting everything in a way that we can understand. And how to receive instructions from him is a great secret. It is not a sentiment, it is not something you can order. No matter how much good karma you have, no matter how much of so-called devotional service we have done, we cannot order. Therefore it is called ahetu krupa, costless. If you have some money, you can go to a hotel and order some gulab jamun, they have to serve it to you. If they refuse, then, you know, well, under normal conditions, if you have some money, you can buy. But nothing in this world or in spiritual world entitles us to receive the mercy of Krishna, the Acharya. Therefore, how to actually get instructions from the pure devotee, that is considered the secret. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the secret of success in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is hearing from the right person. Even ordinary, if you have some disease, then we discuss so much time which doctor to go and see. I just got some little health problem, and you know, everybody suggested this doctor, that doctor, and we went 4 or 5 doctors. So we take so much care. And it is not the case that for hearing from a pure devotee, which is a very great secret, we should take it casually. So it is not possible to go into detail about those things here, but we must know. And when we hear like that, and only then we can become liberated. If we don't become liberated, then we will have a very beginning conception of Krishna consciousness that will not take us far. You see, the mundane materialist is thinking there is a material world and I will use it for my pleasure. And like devotees, we are trying to think there is a material world, but we'll use it for Krishna's pleasure. That's all right. But we will find that if we stay in that conception, no matter how long we go on, we really don't become free of the material forces of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Some time ago I was speaking to one devotee who was actually previously was a GBC and a sannyasi. And he was telling me that when he had joined, soon after he was in Montreal, and Prabhupada came, and there was just nobody in the temple. And Prabhupada had a small room, and outside that room there was a small area, and he was sleeping there. And he used to see Prabhupada in the night at 1 o'clock start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He was going like that. And he was just listening. He said he didn't know what to do. And then Prabhupada would suddenly come out of the room, and he'll go to the bathroom, and he'll just kind of sit in the corner. And he also started chanting. And second day also Prabhupada went, and without saying anything. And then third day Prabhupada stopped around 1:30. He saw he was chanting, said, so you also like to chant and not sleep? And he didn't say anything. He said, okay, yes, Sir Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, we want to completely give up eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But that is not something that we want to preach. We cannot. But that's our goal. So in Chaitanya Bhagavat also we see that Balaram, Lord Nityananda, he was once in a village, and he somehow induced, you know, quite a number of the local cowherd boys, material boys, they were from a very ordinary background, and somehow he induced them to play with him and do all kinds of frolic and sports. And 31 days passed by, and he writes Vrindavan Das Thakur that neither the boys realized, but they had not gone home at all, and they didn't drink, they didn't sleep, they didn't eat, and they were simply frolicking with Nityananda, and they didn't know that. So this is a situation that a liberated person can get into. There was once another very senior devotee who was telling me, and this was long time ago, it was in South India, and he was telling me that he was walking with Srila Prabhupada, and they were going on a walk in Vrindavan, and they passed Babaji. I don't know where the place was, maybe Radhakan, I don't remember. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, this Babaji drinks only a glass of lassi every day. Prabhupada said, oh. And after they walked a little bit, then this devotee said, of course, we are preachers, so we don't have to do this. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, but you must be capable of doing it. So we may not do it, but we must. So this injunction that we should overcome material existence is repeatedly given in the Shastras. And as I said, Prabhupada said that one who is attracted by sex life, then he is ignorant. Ignorant means he is in the bodily conception. And strictly speaking, we can say that about anybody who finds it necessary to eat, necessary to sleep, you see, and necessary to defend, which means to have money and, you know, keep things for himself. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not a path different from the path of the yogi, the so-called Ashtanga yogi. It is not the case that Lord Chaitanya also said, Balana Kaibe, Prakashananda Saraswati was that? And I think it was Lord Chaitanya. And don't eat rich, and don't wear, you know, great dresses. So, and don't even think of wrong association in the mind. So such instructions are there, and so we should not think that Krishna consciousness, yes, of course Krishna says, Sushukam Kartam Avyayam. Krishna consciousness is easily performed. But there are also other injunctions, so everything has to be understood together. So even in taking Krishna prasadam, mahaprasadam, we may be in the enjoying mentality. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur insisted that when mahaprasadam is distributed, it should all be mixed, the sweets and salam, everything, and it should be given as just one thing, so that nobody says, oh, I like that sabji and I like this dal, I don't like that, like that. So, Krishna consciousness is a very deep science, Prabhupada always said. And of course, generally, whenever we do service, according to that service, we think of everything. That's natural. If I'm doing deity worship, I'll see everything in terms of deity worship. Whomever I see, I'll see how they can help in the deity worship, how they can do something. If I'm from life membership, I'll see everything like that. If I'm in book distribution, I'll see how everybody can do. Oh, you are in that place, then you can actually, in November, December, you can do a book table in that place. We don't have anybody there. So we are Krishna conscious in terms of our service. So I also have a service that I've been doing for a long time, and it's natural that I also see everything from the perspective of that service. So that service is how to understand matter in the service of Krishna. So it is one thing to say that we will use everything directly in Krishna's service, but how to use it, that is not a simple thing. Vedyam Vastavam Vastu, unless we actually understand the nature of the material world, it's very difficult to engage everything in Krishna's consciousness for service. Prabhupada, it was not that he was just using a material thinking process when he went to America. How did he create a preaching movement in which everything can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam first canto writes, even missiles can be used in Krishna's service. That is not an ordinary statement that anybody and everybody can make. So he is actually seeing everything in relation to Krishna, and then they appear different. They are not the same. You see? Right now, when we see the world, we think there are objects, and the objects have got properties. You will say that is a circular fan. It has got a blue center, it has got white, you know, blades like that. It's because we believe that there is an object that exists independent of us. I don't think there is anybody here who doesn't believe there is a fan there. You see? Whether you close your eyes or not, there is a fan there. Correct? But that is not really the view of Bhagavatam. So we think there is objects, and objects actually give rise to properties when we perceive. The Bhagavad view is that there are qualities in the world, and we perceive the qualities, we get object. The qualities are, of course, tanmatras, sound, smell, taste, touch. They live in the, they are in the world. And when our senses interact with them, objects appear. I mean, even this body appears as a result of our perception. Not only the world appears as a result of perception, even the body appears. So what is, who is perceiving? So it's a subtle body with the senses. They interact with the sense objects, which are the tanmatras. And you actually get the gross world. So that world is called the phenomenal world. It's a great science, Krishna consciousness.
So when you actually see matter like that, it has a different validity. Because I've written a small paper and kept. Maybe one day I'll publish it, Krishna willing. It is titled "The Origin of Atheism." How does atheism originate? See, atheism comes from this idea that even if I don't look, there is a fan there. It may look surprising. It is like this, let me give you an example. That you go home every day and your mother is putting the food on the table. Every day you go, prasadam is ready on the table. Food. Then you can afford to be indifferent to the person who is making the food, correct? Oh, whether I like them or not, whether I praise them or not, whether I thank them or not. Food to aata hai roj. Every day table mein, it is there. So why should I bear? Afterwards you can even start saying that, oh, there is no cook needed. It is all appearing by itself. You can say that because you don't believe there is a cook, but the cook still doesn't stop supplying. So when you believe that there is a world that is existing independent of us, and then you can say there is no God needed to create the world because it's working. But that, when you actually understand the world is made of the five elements and matter, and matter when perceived gives rise to this world, then we can actually begin to see Krishna more. This is a very deep topic. I'm just giving some very introductory points. Because it is described again and again in Bhagavatam that unless we are liberated, we cannot actually enter devotional service. That is there in this purpose also. By cultivating such knowledge in the association of pure devotees, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. And it is the same thing Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, that Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, that one who is actually liberated, he can become my devotee. And even the Shikshashtakam verses, which are supposed to be 8 stages of progress, the very first verse is liberation. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kairva vidrika shreya kairva chandrika vitranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budhi vardhanam pratipatam purnamrita aswadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. So cheto darpanam arjanam, the cleansing of the mind, that is the process of becoming liberated. So Krishna also says, Vasudevam sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. That he says, I am everything. So when we actually receive instruction from the pure mouths of the pure devotee, then we can, what is this process of liberation? We will actually come to see that I live alone and everything around me is Krishna. We can actually come to see that all these things that I think is this and that and this and that, is everything is Krishna, and Krishna is all the time making everything possible for me so that I can one day become actually attentive to him. And one realizes that. That is very different from the stage in which we think that I am in the world, there are so many people. That cannot be just by discussion understood. And it is useless to argue about it. Do you mean to say nobody else is existing? No. This is not our philosophy. No, it is our philosophy. It is our philosophy. If you take the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says this world, although unreal, appears to be real because of Vasudeva. That this world is unreal and unsubstantial is accepted by everybody. The materialistic scientist, the Buddhist philosopher, Sunyavad, by the Mayavadis, and by the Vaishnavas. This must be very clearly understood. Everything, including the so-called I, is an illusion. That's coming from the subtle body and mind. Now, the materialist scientist says, only matter is there, there is no other reality. The Sunyavad guy says, there is nothing and there is not nothing. He is a very, in other words, he says reality you can have only four types. There is reality, there is no reality, there is reality and no reality, and there is no reality and there is no non-reality. Four combinations. He says none of this you can use for nirvana, sunya. So what he says, the material logic fails, and whatever is so-called reality cannot be described. That is sunyavad, very technical. And the Mayavadi goes one step and says, no, there is something and it's called Brahman, undifferentiated Brahman, monism. Vaishnava says, no, beyond this concept of the temporary body and the temporary mind, there is actually the soul and God, and that is the reality. So, they only differ as to what is the nature of the reality beyond this illusion. But that this existence is unsubstantial, that everybody accepts and we have to realize it. So it is only when we actually get to that point of Vishaya-Chadya, you see, and we should not think that, oh, why should we think this is Maya? Prabhupada writes in the fifth canto that there is a mud pot. The Mayavadi philosopher may spend his life thinking whether it is real or not, but we simply take it and use it for Krishna. We fill it with water and offer. That's all right. But then we should know that's what we are doing, and that must lead to knowledge. Otherwise, you will not get vairagya. Vasudeve bhagavate bhakti yoga prayojitaha janete asu jnanam cha vairagya medahaitukam. One must get knowledge, and that knowledge begins by understanding what is matter before we can understand I am not the body. This is Siddhanta. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, Prabhupada writes, there are five categories and all of them must be understood. Purusha, Jiva, Kala, Prakriti, matter and Karma, all five must be understood. Understanding, of course, doesn't mean that we exercise our brain and intelligence and try to argue about it. But when we actually simply accept the process of devotional service without speculating, and when we actually try to perform it properly, then this knowledge will come to us. There's no use of arguing, then is this real or not? Should I use it for Krishna? That's not the point. Just as when we learn, I am not the body, we are spirit soul, we must hear it. It is called Shunvatam, Swakata Krutna, Punya Shravana. By hearing that itself is considered a virtuous activity. So we cannot say, oh, I will just, I'm not the body, okay, can I go and jump out of the window and I won't be affected because I'm not the body? No, we are not the body, but we are in the bodily conception. So we have to be very, very careful. And when we in the bodily conception, we must simply act according to our situation, sthane sthita. If we consider the world to be real, accordingly we must engage everything in Krishna's service. But as a result of that, one must actually come to realize that this world is false. And when we become like that, then Prabhupada writes here, a Krishna conscious person is never disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating and defending. We have to give it up. So these are there. We may just ignore it. But when we read this, we must realize, oh, I'm supposed to give up all these necessities. It is not that we... So the path of Krishna consciousness is as austere as anything. But it is very easy, because to reach that path, we use the path of Yukta Vairagya. We actually use everything in Krishna's service. By that we are supposed to become renounced. Not that we think that then that is it is perfect, now I will forever live in the material world, engaging in Krishna's service. That is not accepted. And who is that person who was like that, who became the demon Vritrasura? Huh? Chitraketu. Chitraketu had become so Krishna conscious that he perfectly mastered the art of living in the world and never forgetting Krishna, and he was going on. And at that time, you know, then Krishna arranged for this to happen so that he can come back to Godhead. So, neither by attachment nor by renunciation, without being attracted to both, we have to perform devotional service. And this process is extremely great and elegant, and it can be learned only from the mouth of the pure devotee. So the pure devotee is eternal, even when he is so-called present in front of us. To be able to actually contact him is not a material process. It is always a transcendental spiritual process. It is beyond space and time. And that will be revealed to us if we actually follow the process of being situated where we are and very sincerely doing the service and always having an eye on how can I actually become liberated. For the Mayavadi, liberation is the goal, but for the devotee, that's the beginning. Then we can actually perform devotional service. So, Dev, I wanted to say one more thing so that somebody might say, why should we think this world is illusion? You know, well, because Krishna says, the Bhagavatam says, Daivihi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya Mameva Yo Prabhatyante Maya Metamsa. Maya means that which it is not. Maya. Just like somebody takes some painting, puts some color and it appears like apple. But it is not apple. So it is Maya. It appears to be something other than what it is. So these things appear to be like fan and this and that, but actually they are five elements containing the tanmatras with which when our senses, which are associated with the subtle body, interact, the gross body and everything around that is created. So in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, it will be more clear to say that the gross body is the effect of the senses. We are thinking like always body has got senses. No, subtle body has senses. The gross body is the effect. So science. It should be learnt. And it is like this. Suppose you find a bag with $1 million on the road, whereas here, let us say 10 crores. Nowadays even 10 crores is nothing. In the olden days, one who had 1 lakh gold coins was called Lakshadipati. Adipati means Kuber. Lakshadipati means one who had 1 lakh gold coins was considered Kuber. And if he had Koti, if he had 1 crore gold coins, he was called Ishvara, Lord Shiva. Oh, Kotiswaran. Isn't it? Have you heard the word? They'll say, oh, he's Lakshadipati, he's Kotiswara. And if he had 9 crores of gold coins, he is called Narayana, Navakoti Narayana. So Lakshadipati, Kotiswara, Navakoti Narayana. But now even if you have 1.5 lakh crores, it is nothing. I don't know, and may obviously we will have to calculate now what is 9, you should calculate, somebody should calculate how much is Navakoti, 9 crores of gold coins. And I don't know what will be the, maybe 1 tola, we have to calculate approximately gold price and see whether how many crores of rupees it comes to. It may be much, much more. So anyway, so what I was saying, so suppose you find Navakoti on the street, in a bag, crores and crores of rupees. And nobody is around. I don't think there is anybody who will just walk away. Even a devotee will take it saying, I'll use it for Krishna. So if something is lying around, you will use it. But if somebody tells you that that is actually nakli notes, counterfeit, then you won't take it, because not only you know it is of no use, but if you use it, you'll get into trouble. So the material world exists without actually any apparent owner. So Prabhupada said, a constantly lusty man, when he is seeing a woman, the first thing he thinks is, I hope she is not married, so that I can enjoy her. But similarly, Prabhupada said, conditioned soul, whenever he sees this world, he believes there is no owner, so that he can enjoy it. So that idea that there is a world independent of us is really the origin of the atheistic mentality. So we learn so much about Krishna consciousness, I'm not the body, I'm spirit, soul, this and that. But if we don't understand the phenomenal nature of the material, this is called phenomenal. And what is real is called noumenal. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jnana Vijnana Sahitam, 7th chapter, I shall teach you both phenomenal and noumenal, by which nothing shall remain unknown. But we don't make such distinction. Phenomena and noumena are the same, we think. But Krishna makes that distinction. This is a big science. This cannot be so easily understood by either being a material scientist or by being a spiritual naive guy. You have to be, you know, we have to be blessed by the pure devotee Acharya, and then we will learn in proportion to our surrender this knowledge. So once we learn that this world is actually illusion, then not only we will not be interested, but we will also know that if I engage in it, I will suffer. Exactly like if you know it's a counterfeit coin, note, I know that not only it's useless, but if I use it, the police will catch me. So this is all important knowledge that is to be learned. And here in this verse it is said that this can be learned only by constantly hearing from a pure devotee. So if we can actually learn, not learn, if this is revealed to us, the process of both reading the book and associating with the personality, then actually we can really begin to feel what is described here, that like wave, just like if you get into the river, ocean, you can feel wave after wave coming. Prabhupada says it's exactly like the waves of a river. We will also see in Krishna consciousness, wave after wave of ecstasy is coming. So, if we are not free from meeting, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, then we are not the right person to hear from, Prabhupada says that. That's the secret of Krishna consciousness. So, but we have to become the right person. And it is not a simple process, that's the whole thing. So Krishna consciousness is actually there. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, one should control his senses, all the senses from every side, all the time. So this is not a careless process, and we have to take it very seriously. Having already said I'm not the right person, there's no need to go on blabbering, so I'll stop here. Yes. Clock supposed to stop.
I didn't know how much I could understand your class, but still I have a question. You are saying that we have to be free from this eating, sleeping and all.
That's what the purport says.
Yeah. So the point I think you are making is that when we are engaging in sleeping and all, then we forget Krishna. So when we forget, if we don't remember Krishna, then this world will if we all the time if we remember Krishna, then we can also think this world belongs to Krishna, is not for our enjoyment. But the moment we forget Krishna, we can also think this is for our enjoyment. That's what you want to make the point?
That's one point. More important thing is to realize, not speculate, what exactly is the nature of the relationship between me and the world. We have to learn that. It's a science. When we learn, you will see it is Krishna only everywhere. And why should we renounce it? Because here Krishna is coming to us in a form in which we are the enjoyer. So better I associate with Krishna in the mood where he's the enjoyer and I'm the servant, and that comes from chanting. So we simply chant. So our chanting becomes deeper and everything becomes... All I'm saying is that there is a lot to be learnt about this world. Muhyanti yat surayaha. Even the great demigods are bewildered. Name viduhu suragana partha maharishim prabhavamscha. Even the great sages who are supposed to be masters of material knowledge, they get bewildered. Everybody is bewildered in the material world.
But more important than learning is to have realized knowledge. No?
I mean, I'm saying it's only realized knowledge. It means it will come from the pure devotee. That I explained in the beginning, pure devotee, person Bhagavatam and book Bhagavatam, difference is there.
But until and unless we come to that platform of no eating, no sleeping, means we don't forget Krishna. If you forget, then the chance is always, even
that's
you have
not
the knowledge.
The point.
Even you have the knowledge, then still we
that's
will be
the
thinking
point.
They enjoy.
It's not the point. It's not like the pure devotee doesn't sleep. That's not the point. The point is that we have to learn everything from the right person. That is there in the purport. The secret of success in Krishna consciousness is to hear from the right person. Prabhupada says that. The right person is one who is not actually affected by eating, mating, sleeping and defending. Prabhupada writes that. So what is... It is not... You cannot understand how to come to that plane. So I said some things about it. How important it is to hear from the pure devotee. And this knowledge will be revealed to us. That's all. You have to just hear that. How it will be revealed, when it will be revealed, they are not important. You follow? It's important to become a pure devotee. Just hear that. That by itself will make us pure if we keep on hearing. That is why it is punya shravana. That's what I was saying. So it is not so easy to ask questions. Because if you are just supposed to listen, touch Renu, why should I? No need to ask. If you are going to ask questions, we have to be very advanced. That is not to say you shouldn't ask. That's even in ordinary classroom, teacher is teaching, most boys will just take notes and listen, that's all. Only one or two will ask, sir, how did that come? How did this come? Isn't it? So to ask questions, so therefore people are put for questioning. Arjuna was brought by Krishna so that he can question. Just like a karate master, if he wants to show his vidwat, he needs somebody, so he'll get one of his best students. And that best student will go through the motions, and he'll fall down this and that, and he can demonstrate different. Like that, Arjuna was there to play up to Krishna, so that Krishna can speak properly. Otherwise, who can ask the questions that Arjuna asked? He knows. Similarly, the sages of Naimisharanya, where Saunakadi sages, were able to ask questions. Not everybody asked. Saunaka was appointed to ask Suta. And similarly, Parikshit Maharaj asked questions to Sukadev. There were so many other sages, nobody could ask. Parikshit was very advanced. So, it is a process we should slowly master. So in the process, hearing is very important. When it is fully gone in, then we can ask questions. Questions already presuppose a great degree of realization.
Isn't it? Even in the material world, it's like that.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you were quoting of the first slok of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasya, which ends with Satyam Param Dhimahi. In the 12th canto also, Satyam Param Dhimahi is mentioned. And in the 9th canto also, Satyavardham Satyam, like that 10 times. What is the connotation of Satyam Param Dhimahi? Is it related to Gayatri Mantra? Thank you and Hare Krishna.
This you should have asked at the beginning of the class, not at the end. Because it requires another class or many, many classes. Satyam Param means absolute truth. Absolute truth means Krishna. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam preface, Prabhupada writes, the conception of God and the conception of absolute truth are not on the same level. Absolute truth is a higher conception than God. Do you see? So God means controller in so many qualities. All the Vishnus, Narayanas, everybody can qualify to be God. But absolute truth is only Krishna. Even a Vishnu is Paramatma in this universe. He cannot say, I know what's happening in the next universe. There's another Paramatma there. You see? I mean, even the Mahavishnu who is creating all the universes cannot say, I am the source of everything, because he is coming from Narayana. And Narayana cannot say, I am unique, because there are unlimited Vaikuntas. And they are all coming from the Chaturvyuha. And even they cannot say, we are original, because they are coming from Balram. And Balram is coming from Krishna. Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, see, even Balram is leaning on Krishna. You see Krishna Balram. Balram is leaning on Krishna. But only Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartati. I am the source of everything. Matta paradaram na anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. There's nothing superior to me. So there is something called truth. You see? Scientists are also after that. Everybody is after that. True. What is in something in truth? And we generally think that truth is an impersonal concept. But that truth is a person, that is the meaning of absolute truth. Do you see? The impersonal truth can be approached in different ways. Scientists may can say the truth is this is atoms. And another yogi may say, no, the truth is this is just material elements like that. But if you understand Krishna, then the truth is what pleases him. On that there is no debate. You understand? Suppose we want to ask which sweet he likes. Or which sweet you like as in Krishna? Most. Huh? Gulab Jamun. Then there is no debate. Oh, why? How do you know you like Gulab Jamun? So the supreme truth is a person means there is no debate about it. His own opinion is what counts. That is why Krishna says, Mama Mataha. Yoginam Abhisarvesha Madgatena Antaratmana Shaddavan Bhajate Yo Mam Same Yukta Tamo Mataha. I consider him to be great. And there is no appeal against that. In the law, the court, lawyer is arguing his opinion. This lawyer is arguing this opinion. Judge also gives some opinion, but that's called judgment. That cannot be argued. So Krishna says, it's my opinion to show that he's a person. And that opinion is truth, because he's an absolute person. So Satyam means Krishna. That Krishna tells Brahma, anything that is not connected to me is illusion. That's the definition. Asatya is whatever is not connected with Krishna. And Satya is everything that's connected to Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is a supreme truth. Because Krishna, nobody can be connected to Krishna more than Krishna. You follow? So we take absolute truth means Krishna. That's all. And that is person. Yeah. Oh, I should stop.
A devotee who is in the process of liberation, does he start recovering his original Sachidanand Sharir while living on the earth, or he does so when he reaches actually Vaikunth?
It's a good question. He's saying the devotee on the path of progressive path of liberation, does he realize his Sachidananda Vigraha nature here only, or only when he goes to Vaikuntha, Goloka? Although the Mayavadis have made a great thing about liberation, from the Vaishnava viewpoint, liberation is not a great, it's not a great thing. You see? Mukti Seva Kritanjali. So, it is easily obtained. And liberation has got many stages. Suppose you are in a dark room and you are sleeping. Then you are sleeping and you don't know where you are. But suppose somebody wakes you up. It's still dark. You don't know where you are. But you know you are awake. And you don't know who you are also. Now you are awake. Correct? That's also awake stage. But then you go and kind of open, you know, just feel and found a window and opened it and some light started coming. Oh, that's better. Then you open the door and go out, that's better. So, the path of liberation itself has got many stages. That is what Lord Chaitanya says. First verse is liberation. After that, seven stages are there. So, it is all going on. So, first thing is to become awake. All the time.
No, what I mean to say, suppose somebody is nearing liberation or perfection of human life, does he recover his original Sachidanand body here on the earth, or it happens only when he reaches?
I already explained it to you, that liberation is a long process, long stages. So a person who has not yet reached his Sachidananda Vigraha stage cannot be called not liberated. So when he actually knows his Sachidananda, it is a useless question. Prabhupada said, at the right time, I will tell you. People were asking Prabhupada about this Babaji initiations, you know, Swarup Siddhi. That is, you know, what is that called?
Siddha Pranali.
Siddha Pranali. Prabhupada said, when you need, I will tell you. It will come. Devotees don't even bother whether we are liberated or not. That is what I say, Sthane Sita. We just go on serving. But inquiry must be there. What is matter? What is spirit? What is real? Om Asato Maa Satgamaya. Don't be in Asat, come to Sat. And Bhagavatam in the second verse says, Vedyam Vastavam Vastu. You must know the actual nature of things. It also says that rejecting illusion and propounding the true truth for the highest welfare of all. Even Krishna makes a distinction between dharma and adharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanit bhavati parada. Right? So whenever there is a decline in religion and increase in adharma, I come. So that distinctions are there.
So in 14 lok, nobody can exist with Sachidanand body. Is it correct?
Nobody can?
Exist with Sachidanand Sharir in 14 lok.
Jiva Goswami says, Jivan Mukta Sa Uchyate. If you become pure devotee, then you exist. But no certificate can be given. He has got Siddha Sari, he has not. Siddha Sari. Not possible.
The Kriya Yogi Mahavatar Baba is said to be having Sachidanand Sharir. And his hidden ashram is in near Badrinath. So he is having a Sachidanand body since last 2000 years, and he never died.
If he had a body that lived for 2000, that doesn't mean it is Sachidananda. It means a superior body. Brahma doesn't die for 311 billion years, but his body is material. Sachidananda is eternal. And we can judge it only by how much of Krishna consciousness he has propagated. Anyway, that is, so that you can judge. We cannot say yes or no. Any other questions? We'll just take one more if this is there, otherwise we'll stop. I'm also having chest pain. We'll stop. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.